You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 333 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian. We are live on NYY News TV. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And SGR.
What up?
This is a monumental episode in the history of the NYYST podcast. We all had to be here for this one together. On Saturday, New York Yankees called Aaron Hicks into the manager's office, and they said this:
get the fuck out!
Get it for assignment, finally. As The Rock would say, finally, they have designated Aaron Hicks for assignment.
Actually, I think it might have went differently.
Right?
I think it went like this.
Get the fuck out.
No, it went just like that. Just like that.
Into the show, everybody. Welcome to this monumental occasion. We get to celebrate Aaron Hicks no longer being a New York Yankee. And yes, we are going to celebrate that for a few minutes, and then we're going to move on because it's time to say goodbye. Goodbye, Aaron Hicks. I never have to look at you again.
Dr. Engels, out yourself.
Thank God. Thank God. And I actually, and we talked about this, right? Because as Yankee fans, until they win a World Series, and I've accepted this, okay? Until they win a World Series, I've accepted this, okay? As a Yankee fan, until they win a World Series, I don't think we can truly be happy, just genuinely happy about anything. We always have to, we're going to have to find some negative in everything positive, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And the one thing you can say, not even negative, but it's just so Yankees that the guy is finally like, what was he batting? 500 over the last like six games that he played. It's just so Yankee.
No. Let's do the YPM spin here.
Okay. YPM spin. Okay. They wanted him to go out on a high note so that he could get
the New York Yankees. Okay. This is the YPM spin. The New York Yankees waited purposely. Until Aaron Hicks started showing a pulse.
Until he was ready.
Playing good baseball. Okay. In terms of Aaron Hicks playing good baseball, they did right by him and waited. This way, teams would be more interested in him if they had just done it when he was like batting 056.
Okay.
Now, this is an actual talking point that the Yankees did right by Aaron Hicks because they waited to DFA him until he had started playing well.
Okay. While we're on the topic of YPM, not going to mention specifically who it was. Just trying to find the tweet here.
Okay. Talking cucks.
Okay. Okay. No, not going to mention anyone. I just want to if we're going to talk about the YPM.
Okay.
This was a solid talking point here.
Okay.
We want to talk about getting ratioed.
Okay.
8 seasons with the Yanks. Spent some of them as one of the best center fielders in baseball.
Okay, best. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Hicksy.
Some innings?
Some seconds, maybe?
Yeah, Chris, just to call back to that, what you were mentioning earlier, the last 7 games, his batting average was .353. Just wanted to check.
Okay, so in Hicks, you know how dogs have different years? So in Hicks' batting average land, like batting a .900.
Right, okay.
Here's the only time Hicks was the best center fielder in baseball. It was for one portion of one game in his entire career, and it wasn't even the home run that he hit in the playoffs.
That was that play he made, right?
It was that play he made in the Twins game.
Minnesota.
Huge home run in that game, and then he was kind of up there in that playoff home run that was big, but that was it. It was like a total of maybe 25 minutes.
His signature moment that day. Crazy.
I don't want to bring the show down. I don't want to get upset over people that are stupid. Yeah. Okay. Aaron Hicks was a terrible baseball player for New York Yankees. Okay. If you feel any other sort of way about that, that's your prerogative, right? Yeah. You know what? That's fine, dude. We live in a society where you can be wherever you want to be. You can identify as whatever you want to identify as.
Here we go.
You want to identify as a person that thinks that Aaron Hicks is a good baseball player? Go right ahead.
Go right ahead. Liberty.
Go right ahead.
Who the hell am I to say? Pursuit of happiness, okay?
Who the hell am I to say anything differently, right? But the fact of the matter is I don't live in a delusional reality here, okay? And the fact is that outside of 2018, Aaron Hicks has been a poor baseball player, not poor in the sense of that he has no money, because we all know that he cashed in one season into $70 million, but he's been a poor baseball player. He has not been good, okay? The guy has been consistently on the IL or consistently terrible, and the writing on the wall was coming after the 2022 season when everybody said, oh, Hicks was healthy. The guy played in 130 games last year. He posted a .646 OPS. So there was no more excuses to be made, okay? And then you were just waiting to see if the Yankees were actually going to do this, how long it would take them to get rid of him, because you knew that he was not going to – as much as we wanted to say that this was never going to happen, you knew that he was not going to finish out this contract. At some point, the Yankees were going to see a number in front of them that they could live with and say, we'll get rid of him now, okay? Why at this exact moment? I don't know why Saturday was the tipping point, the moment where they decided it was time to get rid of him. I don't know. Acquiring Greg Allen was like, we should have known something was up, because Greg Allen had an upward mobility clause in his contract, which means that he couldn't be traded to go to another minor league system. He had to be, if he was going to be traded, it had to be to be on a major league roster, right? So we had to know that something was up, and we know that Willie Calhoun bangs. So who was the odd man out?
We are going to start banging.
And Willie starts banging, okay?
Right.
Okay.
Why Saturday was the moment in time where the Yankees had had enough, I honestly don't know. But what's, like you said, until they win a World Series, can we truly be happy about any? Yeah, we can be, because I think that there are maybe not major organizational changes, because major organizational changes would be getting rid of the general manager, getting rid of the manager.
Right.
But there are organizational changes happening, and we've seen them happen now twice in this short season. It's May 22nd, right? So we played, 50 games or so? The Yankees committed to Anthony Volpe, all right? That was the first big thing that they did this year, where you felt like things were a little bit different around here. They didn't trot out IKF. They didn't try for 6 weeks until they had another year of control on Volpe. They said, hey, you know what? This is an open competition. You went out there. You won it. Day one, you're the shortstop. We're riding with you. They never, as low as Volpe got at some points, they never benched him. This is his job. This is his position. They're riding with him. And kudos to them for doing that, because the kid deserves to play every single day. And I don't care. He's batting 210, sub 700 OPS. He's looked the part of being a Major League Baseball player. It will all come around for him in due time, okay? Now, this is the second big thing that the Yankees have done. Okay, we didn't think it was going to happen now. I thought at some point next season it was a realistic possibility, but they have had enough. They're trimming the dead weight off of this roster. Now, I'm not going to say Greg Allen is going to make some big difference, but you know, when we sat here and we were previewing the postseason last year, and we said what a weapon Tim LoCastro could be, a guy that can go out there and play good defense, steal bases. That's Greg Allen now.
Oh, and Greg Allen, yeah. But that's also Volpe while he's still not putting it all together hitting.
Right.
Volpe is also that guy on the bases and defensively. I mean, look, defensively, Volpe, you can criticize him in a lot of different situations. But again, it's growing pains, man. There's going to be a lot of balls hit to him that, you know, people always think about making that jump to the major leagues as it's just, you know, up at the plate. The way that ball comes off the bat, man, you're not seeing almost every single play 110 miles an hour plus off the bat, too. So there's growing pains in the field as well. I think we can all say that we're not only confident with him at the plate that he's going to put it all together, but I think he's clearly going to put it all together in the field, too.
Yeah, Volpe will put it all together. But back on Allen, you got to say that guys like Greg Allen are benefiting the most from this shift ban. From the base running rule changes that we're seeing, that type of player has taken a whole new meaning to the roster of in terms of importance. It's not just a fluff roster spot anymore.
Look at this team and how they need to be properly constructed. Who has more value to the Yankees? I can't believe we're breaking it down at this level here, but who has more value to the Yankees, Greg Allen or Aaron Hicks?
It's not even a question. Right. I mean, and Greg Allen is just as expendable, I think. Honestly, I mean, there's got to be plenty of Greg Allens out there.
Mm-hmm.
But for what we were getting out of Hicks, I mean, he's still less expendable than Hicks.
The Yankees don't need to play Greg Allen. The Yankees felt the need, even through all of this, to still give Hicks at bats to see if there was something there based on the salary and the fact that he had a contract for another few years. Greg Allen is coming in here with a role. Your role is to go play defense in late in games, and we'll call you when we need a stolen base. That's his role.
Yeah, and I like that. And I just need to bring this up. This is the second time they've gotten him, right, in the last 2 years?
Wasn't he on the fourth, even the third time. Or fourth? Yeah,
really.
They've gotten him a few times. I think. Okay, Cleveland.
So here's my question: every time this guy comes up, and they say they got him and whatever, I'm expecting. Craig Allen? Who's the white dude that was on the Cardinals? Yeah, that was
someone else.
Great. Craig Allen? Every time.
Craig Allen was a player. He gets me every time. For the Cardinals.
Every time he gets me.
I want to maybe even say third base. Or no, Allen Craig.
Alan Craig. That's it. Gets me every time. All right, doesn't matter how many times they get him. Says
that he was with the Yankees in 2021. So that might have been the only other time he was
here.
Yeah,
I thought
like
only
he was
one.
Here.
That's all I'm seeing.
I feel like he's been here multiple times. Maybe a DFA, and then he went down to Scranton or something. I don't know. Maybe.
Let me see his minor league numbers here.
Hey, man, look. I was partially joking before when I said we can't be happy about anything. I mean, you're right. This team has now done two things that I never thought they'd do under this regime. And it's not, again, you can preface everything by saying until they win a World Series, it's not, it doesn't make up for a lot of the shit that we've had to put up with. However, the fact that they've committed to Volpe, which we know this team has commitment problems. They have very bad commitment problems. And now finally shed the dead weight of Aaron Hicks. You got to be optimistic. And they've been winning. I mean, just the icing on the cake there.
Yeah, 29-20, game 50 tomorrow. But this is just another good example.
Yankees have the best record in baseball in May.
Look at that.
Yeah, but since like April 16th, the Orioles are fucking killing it, dude.
The Orioles have been great. The Rays are
it's going to be an interesting series. Blue Jays tonight. Baltimore's coming in here.
Would you say that the Orioles are a stronger team? Wouldn't you say that if you look at the records, the Orioles profile more as the team they're playing as right now than the Rays do in the long stretch of the season?
No, I think the Rays are. I believe the Rays are more established than the Orioles are.
Right.
So then you're going back on everything. And it's, I think we all are, because I think the Rays are way better than we thought. But I don't think they're half as good as they're playing right now, because
I don't think they are on pace for 100 plus wins. I think, look, the fact is that if you're asking me which team do I believe in more, I would say that I probably believe in the Rays more, just because they're more established. They've been in the postseason, you know, multiple times. This is a core. They have a core together that's made runs before. You know, this is the kind of the first full year for this Orioles team. You know,
There's a scary aspect to young teams that are this good. Talented.
Okay, we said this last year. They're good. They're coming up. Okay. They've been the worst team in baseball for 40 years. So I would hope that they would hit on some of these number one picks that they had.
But the thing is that what makes them scary to me is we know how good teams that are talented can be when they start playing with house money the way the Orioles are. And they kind of just go into that fuck you mode, and they have nothing to lose at this point. And I personally think that they're going to be more dangerous down the stretch than the Rays.
I don't think they're a threat to win the World Series, but
they have a solid bullpen, which helps them.
At this point right now, I'd be surprised if they don't grab a wild card.
But can't you say every year that the Rays are playing with house money? That they play with house money every single year?
No, because that's their strategy.
Their strategy is to play with house money.
Well, their house money, they spend it very smartly and they do it intentionally. I think the Orioles are ahead of their time right now.
Tampa Bay, they're posting a 3.37 team ERA. That's second in second in all of baseball, only behind the Houston Astros, who have a 3.18 team ERA.
Well, they're starting to get hurt too, right, Christian? Don't they have a few injuries?
Ooh.
The Rays in their
starting. They're a bit fraudulent.
Yeah, you're saying that because I had that great take that said don't sleep on the Rays. Don't sleep on the Rays.
Yeah, okay, okay.
There's nothing to do with that.
Sleep on Rays and take a nice nap on the Rays. And now you're just.
I just think that after they kickstarted the Mets season here, they're a little fugazi.
Okay.
And I didn't really like what I saw out of the Rays when they played the Yankees. I know that they.
I agree.
Yeah, they won that series in Tampa, and then they split in New York. But the Yankees were a shell of themselves when they played in Tampa, and
they still competed.
And that was a real turning point for the Yankees season. The Yankees have been a much different team since they went down to Tampa. Once they showed that they had that fight inside of them that you maybe didn't think they had, and then Aaron Judge came back. This has been a different ball club,
for sure.
So
for sure.
Just to, I made a video on Saturday and I said, I don't want to dance in anybody's grave, but you want to dance a little bit?
I'll do a little dance.
Let's do a little dance.
Okay. All right. What if in the
heat? Good thing about Aaron Hicks is being gone, beyond that, we don't have to watch him play baseball for the Yankees anymore, is we don't have to hear him talk anymore either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know my role. Aaron Boone sucks. Dave Roberts is better. Right. You know, the litany of things that he said. So anybody that wants to defend him, go right ahead, defend him. You know, he was a Yankee for a long time. He was actually the longest tenured Yankee, believe it or not.
Ouch.
And now Aaron Judge is the longest tenured Yankee.
That sounds better.
Okay. The way I choose to remember Aaron Hicks is that, you know, he had one good season. He got a contract out of it. A contract that we all agreed was a smart play, because if he was going to be anywhere near that 2018 season, to get a guy like that for that production at $10 million a year was a smart play. Couldn't stay on the field. Didn't produce mostly when he was on the field. Just was delusional about how bad that he was at baseball. You know, his manager protected him when he embarrassed himself on Derek Jeter night. Then he decided he was going to throw. Aaron Boone under the bus, even though Aaron Boone protected him. You know, this is the. You know, I don't care that he had that game where Ryan Rucco soiled his pants. You know, in Minnesota, I don't care that he had that game. It was a great game. I was just watching highlights of it the other night. It was a great game. You know, it's a fun memory, but I don't care. I'm not going to cry over Aaron Hicks because he had that game. I don't care that he hit a home run off of Justin Verlander in the 2019 ALCS that just prolonged our misery so we could see Aroldis Chapman fucking smiling on the mound as he gives up a home run to that fucking rat Altuve. Okay. I don't care about that. All right. None of those things mean anything to me. He's gone. Goodbye. Now we can move forward, and you can say the Yankees are moving forward. They're trying to put the best 26-man roster possible together. And as long as Wash Donaldson stays the fuck away from this team, we'll be good.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So if you want to eulogize Aaron Hicks, this is the time to do it, because then we're going to move on and we'll never. We always say we won't speak of him again. I'm sure his name will come up again, because I'm sure
he'll say something
stupid. But that's my eulogy of Aaron Hicks. Goodbye. Shut up and leave me alone now.
Goodbye. I had something I wanted to say, but I don't remember because he's so inconsequential to my life. So I forgot it already, just like I've forgotten about him and any good memory he ever had here.
Man, I'm just glad that it happened. You know, what's that quote? Don't be mad.
Happy. Yeah, don't be sad that it's over. Be glad that it happened.
Be glad that it happened. I'm happy that it's over, and I'm glad that it's also over. But yeah, that's it. Goodbye.
Oh, as one person leaves, another person re-enters. And it's funny that on the same weekend that this happened, because their extensions kind of correlated with each other. Luis Severino made his season debut on Sunday, 4 2/3, a one run ball. It looked pretty good. I don't know how much you want to take it that it's the Reds, but still he looked pretty good. It's a very encouraging sign that, he got through it. He threw about 75 pitches, which is about where we figured he'd be. The next start should get him to about 90, and then he should be roaring and ready to go over here. So this is step one here, okay? Actually, this is actually kind of like step two. We have Gerrit Cole, right? Gerrit Cole's the ace. He's the man. Leave him alone. Boom. He's fine. Step one was Nestor in Toronto on that was That was Thursday night.
Yeah, because he's pitching. Is he next up?
Cole's pitching tomorrow.
And then Nestor.
Yeah, so after. That was Thursday because Cole pitched the game that they lost. Not his fault.
Yeah, but ironically, the one game out of the four they lose is Cole, and he pitched great. That was the 10th inning three-run homer, right?
And Wandy Peralta's allowed two home runs this year, both to Danny Jansen.
Wild.
Yeah, game winners, so go figure.
Crazy.
Anyway, step one, I guess you would say here, was you needed to feel better about Nestor Cortez, right?
Yeah, right the ship.
Right the ship. So I was at the stadium that Saturday game when he pitched and he got rocked, gave the grand slam. And we're talking about, is this really, now we're going to be in the Nestor regression season. Hey, you know what? He gave up 2-6 against Toronto. You can say whatever you want about Toronto. They're a really good hitting ball club in Toronto. He pitched a really good game. So now you hope to build off of that. You feel a little bit about better about Nestor Cortez. You got Cole, you got Nestor. Boom. Now Seve had to come back, and he did, and he looked healthy. In the 90s, he was pumping high 90s cheese. Yeah. So he looked good. He looked like Seve. Now can the son of a bitch stay on the field and make every start the rest of the way? That's a question, but he's back, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Johnny Brito goes down. You know, then you got the Sticky Stuff brothers and Herman and Clark Schmidt. You know, what are we going to do with these guys? So now at least you filling out the rotation a little bit here. So you're feeling a little bit better about this team because this bullpen, and you saw it the other day when the Yankees had to friggin' close a game with Ryan Weber. Mm. This bullpen is gassed, and it's May 22nd. So getting your horses back, guys that can pretty much, if they're on their game, will give you 6 innings every night. They need to do this. And this was a good first step, or second step, I guess you could say. We're getting Seve back in the rotation yesterday.
Yeah, well, two quick things. You just gave us a lot. Two quick things. One.
Your mother, son?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ryan's mom, just your mom?
Just my mom. Okay.
My mom. Okay.
The first thing is, you know, we complained about this earlier in the year. El Gato, the cat.
Yeah.
We complained about this earlier in the year that Boone had such a quick hook on Cole in some games. And look, I understand it from his perspective. I think it's more that he wants Cole to build on his confidence. He wants to get him out of there before the beginning. We've seen what's happened when he doesn't. And I get that. But those games are so critical to the bullpen down the stretch, not pulling him. So yeah, they're fucking gassed because we have a manager, in my opinion, that is so quick to pull the trigger. It just sometimes it doesn't make sense. That's the first.
Can't be pulling your ace under 100 pitches when he's pitching well.
You can't. Look, even when he's struggling a little bit, that's what he's there for, right? I mean, he's there to give you 100+ every game, whether he's on or off. I mean, if he's getting shelled out there, that's a different story. But I mean, what's that going to happen? One game out of every 20, he takes the mound where he's truly just getting lit up. The second thing is going back to Nestor. It's not just that he only gave up 2 runs over 6. More importantly to me was that he actually looked like he had his stamina going into what was it, the 6th inning, which has been a huge telltale to me sign that something was off, or maybe he had a dead arm or something. But his velocity was dropping off. His stuff was dropping off so much that third time around the lineup or 5th, 6th inning.
Yeah.
That it was like you were watching a completely different pitcher. And that was the most concerning thing for me. Not only did he pitch a good game his last time out, he looked like he had the stamina to keep going after that. And, you know, he wasn't as gassed as we've seen. So I thought that was extremely positive, too.
Yeah, 6 innings, 2 earned runs in his last start against Toronto, 6 strikeouts. Hopefully more of this going forward.
So what's step four?
That would be getting us Rodon back.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? What did he throw? 60 feet? He was on flat ground a couple weeks ago, was that? And now you haven't heard an update since.
Yeah, there was some sort of
update. He's just kind of doing his thing right now. There's no setbacks. It's just I heard the initial
with New York now.
I heard that initially, if everything is going well, back at the end of June. So we're still a few, you know, I mean, we're still about a month away from this, but
yeah,
you know, the Yankees, you know, this is the rotation we were kind of dreaming of, and they're now kind of just that last guy away from it, right? So, you know, Herman's a friggin' idiot, okay? We all know this. He's a garbage person. And then, you know, people wanted to make excuses for him. First of all, whatever it is that you did or didn't do, you have to be smart enough not to jerk around with the same umpiring crew that gave you a break the last time, okay? So don't – that's the first thing with him, right? Okay? Secondly, like, don't be doing dumb shit the day after that they're accusing the MVP of the league of cheating. Like, don't – now you're giving them a chance to feed into this bullshit narrative. I just – you know, you want to just, like, not that you ever forget what he did, because it's literally impossible to forget what he did, but you almost want to be like, okay, it was an incident in time. Maybe he's changed. But then he does this dumb shit, and then it just brings that back up, and it's just like, get this guy the fuck out of here already.
Yeah, look.
Because the thing that really pisses me off about this is because Not even that he was cheating, because I always say, cheat, win, I don't care. You know, what happened to the Astros? Nothing. They won a World Series. They cheated. Who cares, right?
Yeah, but
the
you don't
fucking
want to do
bullpen. They're trying to close. Like I just said, they're trying to close games with Ryan Weber, and then you get your fucking dumbass suspended for 10 games, and they can't replace you on the roster. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to sit here and defend Herman. I'm really not. I agree with you. I think he's a garbage human being. I think everyone deserves a second chance. But when it comes to what he did, I don't necessarily feel like anyone should feel obligated to give a second chance. And when he does stupid shit like this, I agree. It kind of just brings all of it back up and it all comes to fruition to get him the fuck out. I'm not defending him. But there's two things that should be said. The first thing is that when you saw the shit in his pants, that wasn't
dippy.
That was dip. Okay. That's the first thing. It's not an excuse, right? That's just the first thing. Cause that looked awful. Right. The second thing is, you're right. Given the context, you got to be smarter than that. I'm not disagreeing there, but there are legal things in Major League Baseball. Rosin and water are legal. Every pitcher does it. Now, from what I've heard, and I could be wrong, and someone should fact check me on this and figure out the truth. But from what I've heard, I don't know if this is only when a pitcher has come out onto the field and the umpires are questioning what's on his hands, or if this is every inning, there is an MLB official in the dugout down the tunnel where the pitchers apply the rosin and water to their hands. Or wash their hands off.
They've been told to be more random with their checks this way that pitchers can't fall into a pattern.
Okay. So let me just give you context to what I'm saying then. When Scherzer got tossed, he said that he went down into the tunnel. The MLB official was there. He watched him wash his hands and then apply the rosin and apply the water. And then he said it was good. And then he went out into the field with the umpires. The umpires checked him. They convened and they threw him out of the game. So my point here is that MLB needs to be a little more transparent with me and everyone else out there, just to be fair. And it's not about Herman. It's about the pitchers in general. And you know, I hate Scherzer too, so I'm not defending him either. But there's got to be, and I understand it's a judgment call. It's the umpire's discretion. But when it comes to illegal substances, I can't have that as the answer. I'm sorry. It's either legal or illegal. We can't have umpires' discretion on how much is on their hands, because that can vary so much and change the game so much, where one guy with one umpire doesn't get thrown out and then another umpire, you know, throws him out anyway. And look, I'm not saying he's right here. I'm sure it was an excessive amount, but there's got to be some gauge.
You want to know how I know that he fucking did something he wasn't supposed to do?
Yes.
Because I listened to Aaron Boone in the post game and he was fucking pissed off at Domingo Herman.
Fair enough. Look, again, this isn't my defense for Domingo Germán. This was more of a defense for pitchers in Major League Baseball, just in general, that it's a very difficult thing to be discretionary when it comes to, especially these umpires who I just don't trust at all with anything anymore. To run a baseball game, to be in charge, to keep control, they're fucking terrible at their job. So
we got the super chat.
Okay, okay, we got a super chat. Okay, Ron Thompson. Oh, I like that. Okay, it pops up there now. Okay, you want to read it? You got it. You got it.
Okay, it says, can I say how much it warms my heart to see all three of you together? Ra, thank you, bro.
Love you, bro.
I love you guys, Chris Jr. You owe me a meetup at the bar.
Listen, Ra,
drinks on me. I will find you, bitch.
Listen, LOL. You don't have to find me. July 2nd.
El gato.
July 2nd. I think that's going to be when my 4th of July party is. Rod's invited. I'll shoot you a text. You're invited.
Cool.
Christian's invited. Okay.
Okay.
We get sloppy drunk. Okay.
Okay.
El gato will be there.
El gato, the cat. Okay. Okay.
And that's it, man.
Okay. Okay.
And I got a full bar.
Pete wants to know why he's not invited.
Okay. I just expect Pete to be here.
Sim, I'm not invited. Okay.
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 All right, listen. So things are starting to come together here for the Yankees. There's a lot different vibe around this team and around this show, at least, than it had been in previous weeks. And a big reason because this vibe has changed, a big reason is because of number 99. The guy is playing like the fucking best player in the world again. And I tweeted this last night, man, because I went down a rabbit hole of Aaron Judge highlights, and I spent like 45 minutes just watching Aaron Judge highlights.
Yeah.
We are honestly so lucky as Yankee fans that we get to watch this guy night in and night out, and the way he carries himself on the field, the way he produces on the field. Do you know he won player of the week this week? Do you want to hear the ungodly fucking numbers he had this week?
Yeah, it's wild.
He had 500 with an OPS of 1900 this week.
How many home runs, dude? I mean, you can't leave that out.
Six or seven.
Seven.
Yeah, it was like six, I believe, because I just didn't remember off the top of my head.
It was seven. He had seven home runs. He had six on Saturday, and he has 13 now.
He is unbelievable. Even, you know, Saturday he was like, fuck this. I'm not even going to bother hitting a home run tonight. I'm just going to get four hits for the fun of it.
They'll probably bench me tomorrow anyway. Right.
And then for fun, he takes off on Sunday.
Listen, there's something to be said about what you're mentioning right now, because as Yankee fans, as spoiled brat Yankee fans, how many guys have we lived through and said we just didn't appreciate how good they were in the moment? Like, you knew how great Mariano Rivera was, but until he was gone, you didn't understand the greatness. And you absolutely knew how the greatness of Derek Jeter. But until you stepped back, and until this team went into a World Series winning drought, and until you missed that leadership, you didn't realize what he meant to this organization and what he meant to baseball. But Aaron Judge is so in-your-face good. He's so unbelievable. He's such an offensive talent that I don't think we've ever seen in our lifetime, that it's hard to look at him and say we don't realize that in the moment what we're watching, because he's just that fucking good.
If he didn't spend those 10 days on the IL, he could have possibly broken his own record this year.
Dude, what do you mean the 10 days? He's still on pace. He's still on pace. What he's doing. Anyone in their right mind, if Judge came out this year and just had an average year, which he still could do, right? It's a fucking long season. But the fact that you can compare his numbers right now to where he was a year ago is absolutely unbelievable. Because that's a once in a lifetime season.
There's no way if he is healthy for the rest of the year, he hits less than 50 home runs.
That's un fucking real. Dude, again, long season. Anything can happen. Knock wood.
Sure.
Most importantly, need him to stay healthy. But if he even puts up a fraction of what he's doing right now, he's going to be in the talks again for most valuable player.
No. I don't want to hear in talks. Aaron Judge should win. And on a May 22nd, I'm going to say this. Aaron Judge should win fucking unanimously the MVP award in the American League in 2023. Okay.
Yeah,
there is not one player in Major League Baseball that means to his team what Aaron Judge means to New York Yankees. Yeah. Don't bring up Shohei Ohtani, okay? Because the fucking Angels would be in third place with or without Shohei Ohtani, right? He makes no as great as he is, right? And I'm not, and I know people don't think I'm a big fan of Shohei Ohtani. I respect the fuck out of his talent. I really
Absolutely.
Do. Okay. But he has no impact on whether or not the Angels are good or not. If Aaron Judge is not in the Yankees, this team wins 70 games.
Bro, I said it a couple weeks ago. When this team doesn't hit and they're not playing well, they're truly difficult to watch. But when this team doesn't hit and aren't playing well and Aaron Judge isn't in this lineup, they are truly unbearable.
Yeah.
Another triple crown caliber season like he did last. Like he just missed the triple crown by what, 6 points in the batting average, something like that.
Up into the last few games, he was only a point off.
So you would say that this kind of surge that the Yankees are on now, it's pretty directly tied to Aaron Judge returning.
It is completely correlated to
his
return. Now,
what's that other correlation that happened right around the same time as Aaron Judge's return that's been a major part in their success, I think, over these last couple of weeks?
On your brain, so you tell us.
It's Harrison Bader being a part of this team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Major piece. And offensively, he's been great, but defensively, he makes such a crazy difference. How many balls were hit out there to him, and you're like, no way, that's a gapper. And he's got it with time to spare.
He's
huge.
Christian, you go, and then I just want to
say something. I just want to say this. Harrison Bader, it might be, and I get it, there might be better ones out there, but in my 35 plus years of watching baseball, okay, as a pure outfielder, a guy that I saw every day, I don't think anybody's better than Harrison Bader defensively.
No. I'll say this, and this is actually, and I'm being genuine right now, not a knock on Aaron Hicks. There was a ball hit to the wall the other day with Aaron Hicks in center field. And it was truly, I'd say 98% of center fielders wouldn't have come close to it, just like he didn't. But it was a ball that I said to myself, Harrison Bader is so fucking good. See, people don't realize this because he makes so many plays look easy. Like the difficult ones where he's laying out, you're obviously going, holy fuck, Harrison Bader is amazing, right? But there's another aspect to his game that people don't realize, and it's that. And it's the plays that he makes look easy that you don't think are difficult because of how good of a jump this guy gets on the ball. It is, I've never, ever, again, in my 30 plus years as a baseball fan, have never seen anyone come close to it. And I truly believe he tracks that ball down because it hit the bottom of the wall. I truly believe he's there. And it's not a knock on Hicks. It's just it's a praise to Bader and how good he is. Unbelievable.
I think Bader's, I mean, he really came down to earth in the last few weeks. Had a big home run yesterday, but I think he's even a little bit better offensively than maybe the reports are on him. But, dude, if Harrison Bader doesn't get to a baseball, I want you to find the guy in Major League Baseball that can get to that ball, that if he doesn't get to it.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane the way I love when they show a highlight of him where it's the camera behind home plate where it's like kind of zoomed out, because that shows, like, most of the time, by the time we're seeing him catch it, he's under it. But you don't realize how much fucking ground he's covering, man. It's not just speed. That isn't just speed. There's a lot of fast guys out there. It's getting that jump on the ball that guys don't get.
You know, a lot of people may not have seen the game yesterday because it was on at 11:30 and it was on the cock.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently IKF spit at Harrison Bader yesterday.
Yeah, so that was, I wanted to bring that up. That was an interesting moment that happened. It was, you know, the typical, the ball in between the center fielder and the left fielder. It's obviously the center fielder's ball. They had that last second, I got it. Ends up in IKF's glove. So then Bader kind of has this moment where it looks like he might have said something to IKF, like, hey, that's my ball, blah, blah, blah. And IKF makes a comment back to him. And then at, like, Bader turned away at this point, and IKF is still looking toward Bader, and he spits, and he leans his head towards that direction, like he was spitting at Bader almost.
Intentional spit.
It looked like it. It looked like an intentional spit.
No, IKF's got no reason to be mad towards anybody about anything. All right? Because you'll be next, bitch.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll be
so
next.
Was this mentioned by the media at all?
It was mentioned by the guy that decided to start the rumor that the Rays were cheating.
Yes, Evan Roberts, right? Brought it up today on his show.
Look, again, not feeding into this at all.
I saw
all.
The video. I mean, Hicks, IKF, yeah. I mean, like, I've seen people do that. Like, you know, you get mad at somebody, they walk away from you, and you do like an anger spit in
yeah,
their direction.
Man.
Like,
had a little intent behind it.
That's kind of what it looked like.
It did. And I was watching live in that moment. I felt it. That energy.
It's a hate spit. Hate spit.
Yeah.
The hate spit.
There was intent behind the spit.
Listen,
not a Phil Koch spit. Okay. Ooh.
Those were
habitual spit. It was
those were quick. That was like a tick that he had.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty.
Listen,
bad.
I gotta just say this real quick, and I'm not feeding into it. I'm gonna give them credit until there's evidence that I should feel otherwise. But the Rays home road splits are starting to get a little suspicious. That's all I'm gonna say.
Their home run numbers are getting a little suspicious too.
Just do yourself a favor when you're just chilling, maybe drop an Eddie or two.
Okay.
And just go on Baseball Reference and look at their home run splits, not just their win losses. Look at the guys in their lineup in their home. That's all I'm gonna say, and I'm not accusing them of anything. I think there has to be substantial evidence for you to accuse a team of doing that. All I'm saying is starting to get a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say.
I'm not going to get into that game.
No, I'm not getting into the game. All I'm saying is take a look. Keep an ear to, you know, Miss Brown. You remember Miss Brown? She's dead.
Mo Brown. I'm Mo Brown. Then you can handle.
All right, babe.
Listen, I loved her. Okay. But she used to say one thing. Keep an ear to the wind, dear. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Keep an ear to the wind.
No one's going to get this.
That's for Miss Brown.
I mean, I had her senior year, and the first thing that she said, I'm Mo Brown, as in Mo Brown than you can handle.
She was the best. I was hammered in her class once.
She couldn't count, but she was a math teacher. Okay.
She gave me an A, and she gave my friend a C who did no work. He worked so hard. And I walked back and I was like, ha ha. I'm hammered and don't do any work, and I got an A and you got a C. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Stacy, dear, please come back up to the front. I walked up and she goes, you will never get a grade like that in my class ever again. And I just walked back. And that was it.
She
almost
was like
got
the,
expelled.
She was the stereotypical Southern Black woman, but she's from Northern New Jersey.
But she was from Northern New Jersey. She was the best, man. I loved her.
R.I.P.
Uh-huh. R.I.P. God rest her soul.
R.I.P.
All right, moving on here to the bullpen here. Okay, I want to touch on this real quick. Okay. No more Clay Holmes in the ninth inning. Can we agree on that, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And I actually hate Boone with the bullpen, but I'm kind of liking where he's going with this because I think he's tried some things out. And again, commitment issues. But I think they should commit to that at the very least.
Clay Holmes looked a little bit better recently when they moved him out of the closer role, and then they decided they were going to close him again, and then he almost made you shit your pants yesterday. So no more Clay Holmes in the ninth inning. Please figure something else out. I like Clay Holmes a lot better in the seventh and eighth, where if he does have a blow-up moment, the Yankees can recover from it. And I think maybe things move a little bit too fast for Clay Holmes in the ninth inning. That's just my opinion. And the Yankee Clipper in the chat says, Ryan Weber for closer. Hey, man, you know what? This guy stepped up big in the last week. Ryan Weber has really stepped up big in the last week and helped the Yankees win a couple of ball games. So not that I'm advocating for Ryan Weber as closer, but, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. The guy is one of these, you know, dime a dozen, nobody, you know, Scranton shuttle DFA guys, and he came in and helped the Yankees win a few games.
Yeah, I'm not going to commit to Ryan Weber just yet as a closer, but I'll go as far as to say that I actually think outside of the ninth inning, anything that happens in the ninth inning for Clay Holmes, I just can't have it anymore. But Clay Holmes coming in that fire extinguisher role, kind of almost like an Andrew, reminds me a little of an Andrew Miller role. Not necessarily with the Yankees, but when he went to Cleveland,
but he had those moments.
Did he? I don't care if it's the seventh or eighth. I don't care if it's the fifth or sixth. I like Clay Holmes coming in when whoever's on the mound is getting into trouble and it's his time to come out anyway.
Jesus Christ, I don't.
Really?
Like him cleaning up somebody's mess?
Yeah. Well, go back. Okay. If SGR can do it, or if someone in the chat can do it, I'd like to know how many runners he's allowed, inherited runners that he's allowed. Because
somebody that throws more strikes in that situation.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think he plays well under pressure outside of the ninth inning. And I like a guy coming in with a sinker like he has.
Well, you like the sinker?
Because he's not going to get fucking, he's not going to implode. And he's most likely, you know, if anything, yeah, maybe he's not going to throw strikes, but he's not going to give up that big home run. I don't mind him there.
You know what? You're right. That's the one thing about Clay Holmes is that you don't worry about him giving up a big home run. You just worry about him walking eight people.
Right. And in the ninth inning, we've done that enough.
This year so far, he's only had eight inherited runners and only three of those eight have scored. So only
not a great ratio.
No, but I bet you those three were much earlier on in the season.
Last year, if you compare it with last year, he had 23 inherited runners, only seven of them scored. So that's pretty good. I would say that's pretty.
Again, we're not talking about a closer role anymore. I think last year, a lot of those were, we're going to try and stay away from Holmes, and then he comes in the ninth inning because it becomes a safe situation. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he doesn't get the job done. I like him earlier in the game.
What do you think of this? And I'm stealing
this.
Pete actually brought this up. I was texting back and forth with him earlier. Just saw him. Cause he plays for the Reds. This team needs a legitimate closer. Why don't you call and see what they want for Alexis Diaz?
It's
Edwin Diaz's brother.
It's his brother. It was, he was on the same,
they were on the World Baseball.
They were on the World Baseball Classic. Where does he stand in major? What are we talking about as far as what it would take to get him? I mean,
you're not going to steal him. You're going to have to give up legitimate prospects for him. He's got a ton of control. He's only in his second year.
Yeah, ton of control. He's not a free agent. He's not even arbitration eligible until 2025. And this year he's posting a 2.12 earned run average.
Hey, guys, where's Peraza?
Ran. Yeah.
Okay. If we're not going to commit to this kid, can we please, before we completely ruin him, can we please see what we can get for him? And do you think that him, maybe with a couple other guys, can be a package that would intrigue the Reds?
My issue, what would potentially be an issue with trading Peraza is that the Reds are stacked with shortstops in their minor leagues. So the Yankees would have to get a
Little bit. Yeah, but he doesn't necessarily have to be a shortstop.
Okay, if they have 14 fucking shortstops, I'm sure they're going to convert some of their guys. Why do they want Peraza from the Yankees?
I mean, he's that good. All right, do the Reds have any prospects that are?
Or they do. Do you want to do a deep dive into the Reds farm system?
Maybe we should have a Reds podcast.
Okay.
Reds another, and Pirates.
Maybe just an NL Central podcast.
Maybe.
Well, this is true.
Did you see someone the other day posted, if you do a screenshot of the AL East and the AL Central, like in order, it would literally be the same, like if they were order.
This was like a week ago.
Yeah.
So accurate.
So of the five top prospects currently in the Reds system. Four of the five are shortstops. All five are infielders.
Okay.
So, all right. So a lot of infield depth in their farm system. So I
don't know. Somebody's bringing up in the chat, are we a closer away from a World Series? Maybe we are.
Probably.
How do you guys feel though about I was hesitant because I liked him in you know, more of that, you know, high leverage earlier in the game situations, but I've been kind of swayed and convinced that Wandy Peralta is the closer for the New York Yankees.
Okay, let's say you want to do that, then you need somebody to fill his role.
Okay,
you
right.
King.
We have King. We need more in the bullpen.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes, of course.
You got
gonna...
Tommy Canely coming back. You got Hamilton.
Hey, Tommy
out right
Red
now,
Bull, fine. Like... Okay, Tommy Red Bull's coming back. I would still. Would you? Are you against acquiring a high leverage reliever?
No, you have to.
No, okay. definitely look into a high leverage reliever.
If Rodon's going to come back at some point, the Yankees really have one area of focus, and they got rid of Hicks, right? We have Stanton, Bader, El Gato. They have one area of focus right now, and it's the bullpen.
The chat likes El Gato, so
El
this
Gato
is become a thing now.
listen, I can't have some fucking low risk, high reward type of guy either. It's got to be a legit piece to this bullpen, and it's got to happen for sure, regardless of if he's a closer or not. But we just talked about Tommy Canely. I have a lot of hope for him. I really do, and I got to just mention this. Because it came up on my ticky-tacky today. How fucking crazy was that game back in 2017, 2018 against the Tigers where they just kept going fucking back and forth hitting players, and then it eventually led to Cabrera fucking trying to take down
in Austin Romine. I was on vacation.
Like, bro, that game was wild. And then all of a sudden you think it's over and the Yankee, and then Canely comes out. And he's fucking throwing behind guys and shit.
Mm. I remember.
I just can't believe how crazy that game really was.
You can't get me off the beach for shit, but I was running back to the hotel room to watch that. When I was following it on my phone, I was like, fuck, a fight?
But the crazy part was it wasn't just the fight. It was that both teams wouldn't stop. Todd Frazier got fucking pounded, almost charged the mound, and then the Yankees come back out. It was like the last time the Yankees actually had balls.
Austin Romine.
Austin Romine fucking pounded him right in his face.
I do remember that.
And then they became teammates, right?
He was on the Tigers.
Yes. I know his brother was there at the time. I
believe he was on the Tigers.
I believe he ended up going to the Tigers also.
Would you mind looking that up for me, please?
I'm pretty sure.
I think he was a Tiger.
He was at Austin Romine?
Yeah,
Austin Romine.
I know
yeah,
his that, brother
that's
was
where
on
he
the...
went. He got traded to the he signed with the Tigers to be their starter.
Was where,
to,
did
to
he go to
catcher. The 2020 he went to Detroit. Then in 21 he went to Chicago.
I was going to say he was with the Cubs at some point.
The Cubbies and the Angels.
But his brother was with the Cardinals. Tigers for a while.
Now he's with the then he was with the Reds. This is his last team he's played with. Now
no, I mean the Yankees are going to need to acquire a legit closer, in my opinion. I mean, I think that's one thing they should target. Aroldis Chapman's going to be available.
Hey, he's got a 3.24. 3.24. I looked up his numbers too just now. He's got four or five outings, hasn't allowed a run.
Let me tell you something. If the Yankees acquire Aroldis Chapman back, I will not. I think I'm done.
Trade Glaber for him?
Can't see that ever. I really can't.
Yeah,
see that.
Again,
he's not gonna have it. They ended on such bad terms. It was more than that's why he's not.
No,
here
I mean,
anymore.
If he didn't give himself the jailhouse tattoo and then refuse to come back to New York
from Miami,
I could maybe see it, but it's not gonna happen. honestly, see, that's the thing though. I don't want the Yankees to go out there and acquire. Look, Wandy's been fucking great. I love Wandy Peralta, but he was. I mean, he was a low risk, high reward guy. We traded Mike Tauchman for him. You know, I don't want that type of move. I don't want a Clay Holmes where you trade. What was that guy's name that everybody was fucking drooling over?
Park.
And Park.
Or June Park.
Yeah, right.
And Chan Ho Park.
That wasn't Chan Ho Park. Get to the chopper. And then the guy can't even stay in the major leagues. Like, I don't want those types of moves. I want to acquire a legitimate badass reliever That's the type of guy the Yankees need.
Remember when Josh Hader was available and it was like, oh, maybe like the delusional Yankee fans are like, oh, maybe he'll be a Yankee. And we were just like, that will never happen. It has to be a Hader type guy.
See, I brought this up to Pete earlier today because we were chatting and I said, Gleyber, you know, we're both in agreement that Gleyber Torres should be traded. And I said, what do you want for Gleyber Torres? Do you want a legitimate starting outfielder? Do you want pitching? And he wants pitching. Now I'll bring this question up to you. Are you on the trade Gleyber train? Yes or no? Just answer that quickly before we move on.
Yes. Without context?
Just answer the fucking question.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm now, a conductor of the trade Gleyber train, by the way.
Okay. Now, if you're the general manager, are you targeting a legitimate starting outfielder or pitching trade Gleyber Torres?
Oh, it's bullpen for sure for me at this point.
Ryan?
What do we need an outfielder for? Let's just start there.
Yeah, because we'll have Stanton coming back. I go.
Stanton's not an outfielder, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he's a spot. He's a spot that's gonna.
No, I don't think with Bader back, and you got Judge, and you got Stanton when he needs to play out there, and you got guys like Bowers who are filling in okay. If you're gonna ask me where the Yankees are gonna be more impacted by adding someone significant, it is by far, without a doubt, in the pitching area. Whether it be
I can't think of a guy off the top of my head, but you can find an all-star lefty slugger to play left field. He's got 2 or 3 years of control left for Gleyber Torres. You're going to say you don't want that
for left field? No, okay. Are you telling me if we're comparing the lefty slugger that we're getting to the available bullpen arms, that there's no one in that same realm of talent that I could have had for the bullpen?
There's no legitimate closers available.
Then maybe I'm adding that slugger then. And I'm
you could have got it. Let's say you could have got Alexis Diaz for a package around.
Then absolutely not. I'm taking Diaz. It's not even a question.
Are you mad if the Yankees traded for an all-star outfielder for Gleyber Torres? Are you mad about that?
And I find out that they could have had Diaz. Like, Diaz was on the table, and they said, no, I'm
taking this. They felt that the bigger need was in the outfield.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a sign of incompetence that you don't know how to prioritize.
No, if it's a fucking sign of incompetence, you have a hole in left field. And you took a trade ass.
But bro, hold on a second. A championship team does not. Correct me if I'm wrong. Who were some of the left fielders out there over those 90s wins? Wasn't Ricky fucking LeDay an outfielder for them at some point?
Shane Spencer, okay. And Chad Curtis caught the last out of the 99 World Series, okay.
Okay, but these guys were moments in time, no? You're telling me a Jake Bowers can't get on a fucking heater and this team still can't win a World Series? I mean, are we not winning a World Series because we don't have one position at this point that doesn't have a legitimate player at it? Or are we not winning a World Series because we can't get a guy who we're confident in to get three of the biggest outs of the game? That's not a question to me.
All I'm saying is that I'm not upset if that's the move. If that was a potential move.
But if you're telling me I left a legitimate closer on the table, then I'm a little pissed.
The Gatto won't go away now.
He's back. He's here and he's here to stay. And
we are gonna start banging.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would prefer them to, if they were to trade him, to do it for a high leverage reliever over an outfielder, but wouldn't be upset if it was for an outfielder. Just, I don't know. What do you see being a more viable option for them to get someone that's MLB ready? Would they be able to get an MLB ready outfielder easier
personally,
with Gleyber?
This is my opinion. I'm saying this for the sake of an argument, right?
Okay.
I don't think the Yankees are going to trade Gleyber Torres for an outfielder because there's two reasons. Number one, I think that the Yankees really do like Jake Bowers. Mm-hmm. And they think they can get by with him and Greg Allen and John Carlos Stanton and whatever the fuck else. Plus, I also don't think the Yankees want to tie down a third outfield position, because I think they do have intentions of re-signing Harrison Bader. That's number two. And to further that point, in left field, you know, there's a Martian in Somerset. Right.
Okay. And I'll add a layer to this argument real quick. And it's not to go against my argument. My argument stays that I'd rather them trade, if they're going to, for a legitimate bullpen piece. However, if the question was, what do I trust Cashman to do more successfully, acquire a left fielder for Torres or a legitimate bullpen arm? Then I actually have more trust in him to get a better left fielder than I would adding a piece, because I feel like we're not trading Torres. We're going to trade someone, and it's going to be some fucking arm that was good back in 2015, and we're going to take a shot on him. He probably just had Tommy John like 3 years ago, probably has some forearm issues lingering, maybe a back issue in there, and we're going to see if we can get the last 20, 30 innings out of him down the stretch.
All right.
Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, no, it's probably accurate. Okay. But when is the trade deadline? July 31st? And did they move it again?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, whenever the fuck it is, right? Let's just say it for historical purposes, it's always been July 31st. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you wake up the next morning, one of these two guys cannot be a New York Yankee anymore. Okay. It just is just how I feel about this situation. August 1st. If you wake up the trade deadline is August 1st.
It says the trade deadline.
It's August 1st. Okay. We got it confirmed. Okay. August. So if you wake up on August 2nd, one of these two guys needs to be wearing a different uniform. And no, it's not Wash Donaldson as much as he needs to be. That's not where I'm going with this. Oswald Peraza or Gleyber Torres has to be wearing a different uniform on August 2nd if the Yankees are really, truly serious about winning a World Series this year. You have to make a commitment here. This is important now, okay? And I want this is the last time I'm going to say this on this show, because I'm fucking sick and tired of saying it, right? And I want 2 minutes here to just say this for the last time. I do not think Gleyber Torres is a bad baseball player, okay? Gleyber Torres is a good baseball player. He's borderline an all-star player when he has his fucking head on straight. The problem is that I don't always see him with his head on straight. And we saw it evidence an error because he didn't technically make an error. It was the game in Toronto. He didn't technically make an error but he throws to second base when you have a two-run. You have to make sure you get the fucking short out there. Then he's bunting knowing that they're going to walk Aaron Judge. I mean, what are we doing here? Right? These are my problems with Gleyber Torres, the baseball player. Also, why the Yankees need to trade Gleyber Torres is, do you see the Yankees committing $120 million to Gleyber Torres? I personally don't see it.
Never.
So why are we going to keep Gleyber Torres around to the last day of his contract and let him walk out the door for nothing? Right? That is my position on why we need to trade Gleyber Torres. People are like, oh, you think he sucks? I don't think he sucks. And I don't care what is – and everybody that comes at me, oh, it's WRC plus. I could not give less of a shit what his WRC plus is. My concerns with Gleyber Torres are his mental acuities as a baseball player and the fact that I don't think the Yankees are going to commit to him long term. Those are my problems with Gleyber Torres. So now you have a guy in Oswald Peraza. Look at that. You can come and play second base, right? You don't want to play a rookie there? Well, then trade him, because you already have your starting shortstop. Somebody's got to go. You have Trey Sweeney coming. That's in the pipeline. You have other shortstops that are in the pipeline, right? If Volpe's your guy, then move some of these other guys around. You have these two big chips here that you can play and plug your holes, okay? How many more years of the primes of Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge that we're going to waste? And we might be seeing, it's hard to say this after 2022, but you might be seeing Aaron Judge's best season this year. You might be getting Gerrit Cole's best season as a Yankee this year, and you're going to waste it. This is why one of these guys has to go. And it pains me to say that, especially about Peraza, because he's become a favorite in my family. Okay. And me and my cousin have sunk more money than we probably care to admit into some collectibles of his. And my cousin especially loves him. But hey, if you're not going to help this team win this year, you're expendable to me. And that's the way I've always felt about prospects. So if you, and then at that point, then you might as well go ahead and turn around and hand Gleyber Torres that contract, because you have to commit to one of those two players. That's my opinion on it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just,
I agree with you. And I actually told your cousin this weekend that he should pray the Yankees do get rid of Peraza, and then he'll probably be a Hall of Famer. Cause if they don't and they hang on to Torres, he will be literally a nobody. You will have wasted all your money invested in him. And real quick, I agree with everything you said. I think you said it perfectly, and there's nothing more to be said. I just want to comment on Hirsch, because he's my boy. He said he thinks Cashman has a better chance of getting a solid reliever because he's good at that. I'm not disagreeing with that statement, and my statement wasn't that I don't trust him to get a good reliever. I think he is pretty good at finding gems in the bullpen. My point was, we don't just need a gem in the bullpen of a guy who, like, you'd never heard of, and maybe right. He turns out to be some stud. We need a legitimate household name out of the bullpen on this team. And I see Cashman doing something more along the lines of what you've said he's good at, of getting a guy, acquiring a guy for barely any risk, barely anything to give up. And he comes here and he makes a decent impact. You know, he's a decent guy. I think Cashman's great at that. I'm talking about a household name that comes here and really changes the dynamic of the late innings for the New York Yankees and how we feel about close games.
I just got a comment on Jay Schmeezy here. I appreciate you being in the chat, bro, but I don't know how you can make a comment that Anthony Volpe gives you IKF vibes at shortstop. I just don't understand how that's something that can be said, honestly.
Yeah, no.
I know Volpe's been a little bit. Yeah. I know Volpe's been a little sloppy at shortstop, especially recently, but he is a legitimate shortstop. I'm sorry. I don't fear Anthony Volpe at shortstop the way I feared IKF at shortstop.
No.
I just can't. Yeah. I can't. I don't. I'm sorry.
Even if you do fear Volpe at shortstop, it's incomparable because Volpe's a rookie.
Yeah. Like I said, there's growing pains, man.
There's a saying. It's called rookie. That's a rookie mistake. It's a saying for a reason. Rookies make mistakes that they probably shouldn't. IKF isn't a rookie. He still makes mistakes that he shouldn't.
Look, and this is
he's not right. A rookie.
He's not good. I respect IKF, but
yeah, sure.
Just real quick on your point, Rye.
Yeah,
I think this is why it's so important that Volpe, that they did commit to Volpe this year.
Mm.
And it's really credit to him because he left him with no choice. It's so important because look, we just talked. Christian just mentioned, like, how many more years are we going to have of Gerrit Cole? How many more years are we going to have of dominant Aaron Judge? Not many, guys. And like, if Volpe's going to have his growing pains, I want it to be as early in this window as possible before it closes. And then what? You know, we keep talking about, like, oh, you know, we can't give up on this prospect. Guess what? If this team isn't ready now, by the time these prospects are, you know, up here and ready to go and making an impact on this team, Gerrit Cole's going to be walking with a fucking cane. Aaron Judge isn't going to be the half of the guy that he is right now. This is the time. And I'm sick of saying it. This is it right now. So either these guys can come up, show some growing pains, and still impact this team and influence this team in a positive way, like Volpe has done, or get rid of them. And that's it.
I just want to make this final point, and about because I'm reading the chat here. Jay says that fielding balls is not a rookie mistake. He's been fielding baseball since he was four. I hope that you understand.
Major League Baseball.
I really thank you, Ryan, for saying that. I really hope that you understand there's a huge difference, in between playing from at Scranton-Wilkes-Barre to Yankee Stadium. I really hope that you understand that there's a huge difference in between those two things.
Big difference from Williamsport. Okay. That's a big difference. Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, come on! Look at the exit velos on these guys. They're at the major league level. The ball is hit at a much different rate than anywhere in the world, any other level. Well,
this is what I said in my. I don't know how many people saw it because it was just me. It was a 25-minute show. Last episode came out Friday, wasn't live, and I said this because there was people on social media. They want, you got to keep that same energy for Volpe that you had for IKF. You should rip on Volpe. No, you should not rip on fucking Anthony Volpe. 40 games into the kid's fucking career. Can we let him grow up and be a fucking Major League Baseball player first? If he's making the fucking these same errors in year two or three, then go fucking have at it.
Look, dude. Look, it's as simple as this. And if you feel differently than this, you're wrong. So I don't care what you say. Tell me I'm not onto something here. Volpe has been underwhelming when you look at his offensive numbers. Okay. Outside of the home runs.
If you only look at his offensive
correct.
Numbers.
Correct. Okay.
If you haven't
so
watched him play baseball
at.
Every kinda day.
I know what I'm getting at. Okay. But when he's not in that lineup, despite the batting average and despite where, don't you feel disappointed? When he's not in that lineup, don't you say, fuck, man, I wanted to watch Volpe tonight. He needs to be in that lineup.
Well, every day. I love that.
Why? Why? Because he brings something
different
that
to this ball club.
He brings something different that only guys who are ready to be here bring to a ball club. There is no denying that. There's no denying it. And if that's going to come with some growing pains, man, whether it be in the field, whether it be at the plate, I'm here for them. And I'm glad they're happening now.
Absolutely, man. I just don't understand the hate that some fans have for Volpe.
But look, it's okay to be frustrated with them. I get it. I get that at some point you have to still hold players accountable. I think Volpe would hold himself just as accountable. But you also have to be a rational fan here and realize that not everybody is Derek Jeter.
Who okay? also was had a very rough
who also had a
rough defensively.
Right. So I mean, we gotta let guys. We're not used to it. When's the last time we saw them really commit to a prospect as highly touted as him at this age? What was Gleyber Torres? 23, 20, 24 when he came up?
Oh. 20.
Was he 20?
In the league 6 years already.
I mean, he wasn't a homegrown guy.
No, so you would probably go back to Derek Jeter.
Okay, so this is a homegrown guy, number one prospect, coming in to fill a position that's always been sacred to us fans in this generation. We gotta just chill a little bit, man. Because I'm telling you, regardless of the numbers, if it's a big spot in October and Volpe's coming up, I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, why is it Volpe? I'm thinking this kid's got what it takes to make something happen. And as long as we feel that, I think we got to just ride with it and commit just as much as the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. So I hope you committed your money to a lot of streaming services, okay? Because the Yankees were on the cock Sunday. They'll be on Amazon Prime on Wednesday, I believe, and they'll be on Apple TV on Friday night. So that's four different services that you need to watch the Yankees this week. And I just want to say this, right? I get it. People are frustrated that you need all these different platforms to watch the Yankees. I get it. Me personally, I don't get frustrated because I have them all, okay? So I don't get frustrated by these things. But if you want to be mad at the Yankees, be mad at the Yankees because they're on Amazon Prime, because guess what? That's the business deal they made. They made the deal to go on Amazon Prime, okay? They did that themselves, okay? Now, there's false narrative that the Yankees are fucking their fans because they're on Peacock and Apple TV is exactly that. It's a false narrative. Now, think about it like this, right? I know a lot of people they can't do this type of cognitive thinking on their own. So I'll lead you through this, right? If you're Apple TV and you're Peacock and you're paying hundreds of millions of dollars for these packages to air baseball games, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, no, we're not going to take the Yankees because they're on Prime and their fans are pissed off already? You're going to fucking take the Yankees.
Of course.
It's just a little honest. I agree with the fact, and it's really fucking annoying that it's three different streaming services in 1 week. I understand that. So that's really annoying. But
it's
you can't get mad at the Yankees for being on Peacock and Apple TV. They got nothing to do with that. Those platforms are not going to be like, oh, we'll pass on the Yankees. Of course they want the fucking Yankees.
Dude. I'm sorry to just completely ignore you, but I just realized something.
What's that?
Your camera went out again, and I noticed the wording at the bottom was reversed. Is your thing Otoggle and not Elgato?
Oh, it's Elgato.
I don't think so, bro. Why are the letters at the bottom were reversed?
Because you're probably dyslexic. That's why.
I think it's Otoggle, man. Fuck, dude.
Oh, it's Elgato.
No, it's Elgato.
I'm looking right here at the icon for the app. It's Elgato.
Fuck.
Elgato.
I'll leave it at Elgato.
He can't even, he's got to check for it himself.
Yeah, I did.
You're staring at the box.
Oh, man.
So the Orioles are
check it now.
The Orioles are coming to town. So this should be a very interesting series here. Gerrit Cole will be on the mound on Tuesday night. So looking forward to that. So we're also, and there's a lot of alsos there. We're also looking forward to seeing you out at Yankee Stadium on September 23rd. Tickets are now on sale for the next event at the Audi Club on September 23rd. It's also Aaron Judge bobblehead day.
Oh,
so another added reason to come out to Yankee Stadium on September 23rd. And we want to thank everybody that's been in the chat tonight. And we do have a real quick before we wrap up here from the OG Patrick. He wanted to ask us a question. He goes, do you fellas think the Yankees are making the playoffs this year?
Yeah, come on, Patrick.
Patrick, I expect so much better. I expect so much more from you, buddy. Yes, I honestly, you know, even if you feel like that the Rays have ran away and hit 5.5-6 games up in May, that's fine. You think that there are four better teams? If you take away the division winners, do you think there's four better teams in the American League than the Yankees?
No.
Nobody wants the wild card series, but with three wild cards in here, I mean, literal catastrophe would have to strike the Yankees for them to not be in the postseason this year. So please head on over to Twitter and follow us at NYYST_podcast.
Tweet at it. Okay.
If you're still in the chat and you haven't done so already, please like this video, subscribe to NYY News TV. 20K by the All-Star break. Let's go here. Okay. And we want to thank everybody that's if you're listening on Apple Podcasts as well, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Thank you to everybody for your continued support of NYYST and NYY News TV. Thank you for listening and watching episode 333. The fuck yeah, Adam Hicks has got episode. SGR.
Oh, Yanks.
Let's say goodbye.
As the competition, but if you go against me, you the opposition. But if you want to tittle, look like you can close the distance, I'ma give an A forever since you're so persistent. With you, I'm just practicing, cause I'm back to back. Let's get back to winning. As a matter of fact, I'm not that forgiving, cause you did this to yourself. That's a